Christ, sir. Amen. You may be seated. It is good to be in the house today.
Yes, it is.
I'm excited to be here. No place I'd rather be. I was just thinking about some things, and I wanted to share because, you know, that service that Brother Jeremiah preached, I know what y'all got out of that.
Amen.
But, man, I couldn't stop chewing on what I got out of that. And it hit me, and it you know how, like, when something's preached here, it stirs your heart up. It stirs your remembrance up, and then it guides and leads you to something else he wants. He wants to talk to you all the time.
Amen.
So I don't just hear from him here. I hear from him constantly. He's constantly talking to me, day in and day out. He won't leave me alone. He constantly has something to say if you'll listen, if you'll hear him, if you'll heed his word. So he led me to something. Because, see, that seed's protected to the point of manifestation.
That's right.
And that's why pastors don't have to follow us home. Because once that seed manifests, you can't stop it. There's nothing that can stand in its way from doing and producing the fruit of the hour. And the fruit of the hour is the word of the hour. It's all one and the same. You could change the terms all day long. I know what you're talking about. When you come in here, I know what you're talking about. When you testify, I know where you're coming from. You can come from any angle. And I know exactly what you're talking about because he did it to me. He did it to me too. So he took me to that book, The Spoken Word. And it's just a little bit of reading, but I just really wanted to share this because this was on my heart. And he hit me with this morning. And I was like, Lord, I love when he does things like that. So it's in this book here. And it says here, it's in The Spoken Word. And it's, I don't know what page it is, but you guys will know what I'm talking about. Some years ago, I heard that a woman, and then in parentheses, he said, now this may not be authentic, that licked her tongue in radium while mixing it to put the hands of dials of clocks and watches, it killed the woman. And years later, keeping her skull for an autopsy, like, they said you could take instruments, whatever they use, and put against that skull bone. And with a rumble, you could still hear that radium going on in her skull after she had been dead for years. Radium continually goes on. The word of God continually goes on. I am told that if we could pick up an instrument that could catch it, that a man's voice, my voice, that I speak today, 10,000 years from now, could still be picked up in the air. It's like dropping a pebble in the middle of a pond, and the teeny little waves, after they fail to be seen by the eye, continually till it hits the bank. And the airwave of our voices continually travels around and around the world. Therefore, then, our voice, what we say, will be our judgment. Our testimony will rise against us. Our own voice will echo in our own ears at the judgment bar of God, when his great instrument catches every voice that's been spoke, every word that's been muttered. And now, there's only one way to stop that voice, the voice that's wrong. That's repent.
Amen.
God alone can stop it. If it doesn't, it goes on and it meets up with you in the eternity. Therefore, God being perfect and his voice eternal, his own voice will have to catch up with it. Therefore, he must be perfect in every decision. For when he once says something, it has to go all the way and come back to the judgment. Now, if you'll be real understanding, and this place is full of understanding, or try to be, you'll see why I have took always the stand for the word of God that I have, because all other things must perish. And that's what stuck out to me. Everything that you see around you, take a 360-degree look at every single thing around you, your circumstances, every single thing in your life. All these things that man has lived through, the ages, all that has to perish. Because he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but Well, not one word. Not one word of God. That word, he came down here in word form.
Right.
When that mighty angel came down, he came down with an open book in word form. So you're eating the spoken word for the hour. That is God himself, veiled in human flesh now. And that's what's going to go all the way. And so as he said here, God is eternal and his word is eternal. Now, as you study, I'll try to speak just as lengthy as I can so that you'll get the words. You don't have to do that today, Brother Branham. This is real believers here, you know. I found myself talking to him as I was reading this, you know. And you guys ever do that? I don't know. he said, I do that for the tapes also, that you must know that this Bible is God's word. And that's what I wanted to share, because this is real to me, man. This is the realest thing I've ever put my hands on. And you know, I want to push this thing forward. I want to do everything I possibly can to nurture this thing and to see it all the way through. I'll outlast you, Satan. And that's my testimony. God bless you, sister.
Good morning, buddy. I am just so grateful to be here. I am so thankful for God's love and his mercy. And I tell you, listening to the messages about 3 weeks now has really continued to inspire me.
Amen.
I know the Lord looks out for me. I know that. And Brother Jeremiah has said he wanted us to review Psalms 91.
Ooh, amen.
And I was able to just look at that first verse and just what I've been through just recently. Recently. God was with me all the time. There were times that no one was around, but just me and the Lord. And I just want to edify my sisters and brothers here in Christ.
Amen.
I love each and every one of you. Pastor Moore, again, I thank you. You and Brother Childers. Also being able to know who the prophet is. Amen. Has guided my life. I thank my husband. My husband is a God-fearing man. And he has been so good to me by God's
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
But I just want to share with you all. Brother Jeremiah said, read Psalm 91, and like I share with you, I can identify with that first verse. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of his Almighty.
That's exactly right.
I will say of the Lord, this is so true. He is my refuge, and he is my fortress.
He is.
Oh
my God, throughout my life and recently, he is the God that I trust.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, sis.
I just stand in front of you guys with just a thought that's been going through my mind this week. It's all about the word. It's all about the word. You can have works, you can have clothes, you can have. You can even have an understanding, but the thing is, do you have a new birth? Are you in the word one? Because all the other things the prophet said could be mimicked, but that third pool is personal. And that's when it said, when you can say, me and my father are one.
Go ahead, sis. Oh my. There's been a lot said already.
In this hour, we are the Word of God, made flesh, and we have a leader, amen, who the watchman on the wall who sees further than all of us. Mm. That's why he's here. So when he speaks, it's a good thing. Well, it's a wonderful thing to listen, and the bride will listen. Last time I got up here, I said, I thought I had something. He said it was a rut. So immediately, praise the Lord, I said, yes, Lord. So we got on it. It don't take long. So I'm going to come rutless. I'm excited to do what the Lord says do.
Amen.
I thank God that I have an ear to hear, yes. And we're going to play a little something if we have time. Yes. You know, I don't ever want to get up and not edify the body of Christ. You know, if you have a gift, the very word denotes that it's something you give away. And so if you don't share, it ain't no good. If you want to put the words up, whoever's back there, it's Jesus is the center of my joy. That way you can see the words and you know what we're talking about.
Before we start, I want to say I'm thankful for the little things God gives me, even in just the everyday things.
Yes.
I got this food almost about a year ago, and when I got it, they had plugs in it, and the plugs was kind of like a help to get you going. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, by next year, I'll have all these plugs out. Well, I still got a couple in there. So the thing is, I said, let me take it out. I want to take it out and just push forward with what God has for me because, you know, he's given me a gift, and I don't want to sit on it.
Ooh,
and
come
believe
on.
Me, I want to play the best that I can. Amen. And, yeah, there may be mistakes here and there, so if you hear the wrong notice, because I took some plugs out. But he's pushing me to do that.
Yes.
And it's okay if we mess up at times because we got to step out on some of these things. And I said, well, whatever. When he has me take these last two plugs out, I'm going to just step out and do it.
Amen.
And if it sounds rough, well, sometimes it's not pretty when you first do that. So it's
going
to be all right. So my family thinks I'm crazy that I want to take it on vacation, but I love my flute. I want to
pass it.
Amen.
I am.
Amen.
I am.
She's passed. Did I miss it?
Yeah.
Back up. I missed my cue.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sister Brittany, go ahead.
God bless everybody.
Amen.
In December, I have lost my dad to cancer, and I've been having a really hard time because he was my best friend. And the devil, he's such a liar.
Amen.
And you know, he's always in my ear when I pray at night, when I wake up, like, don't go to church. He tells me, like, you know, but I am so thankful that I am covered in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that I have the Holy Spirit, and he's always with me,
yes,
no matter what.
Yes.
And I just praise God, and I'm so thankful that I have eternity to spend with my Father.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Brother Mike.
I want to give a praise report. A year ago, we went to the doctor, and the doctor said my dad was 90% dependent upon his pacemaker. Well, about a month or two ago, pacemaker battery went out, but somehow my dad's heart kept on beating normal. So we go in Tuesday to find out if dad even needs a pacemaker anymore after about 20 years of having one.
Thank you, Jesus.
His heart is still going strong right now. And God's not going to do that for me. I may not give him the praise for it. Thank you, Lord,
Amen.
For keeping my dad's heart beating during this time frame.
Yes, Lord. Go ahead, Sister Jen.
It's good to be here today. You woke me up. Wanted to apologize and sorry if I'm wrong for hurting anybody and not edifying, letting God's word, not being selfish.
I was reading the Bible about blind Bartimaeus about probably 2 weeks ago, and it has not left me. So that means I probably have to share what God revealed to me when I was reading it.
Yes. Amen.
Just to paraphrase, this is a blind man sitting outside the gate, minding his own business, begging, and he hears a ruckus coming, and it's Jesus and his followers and the crowds that are going with him. So what's he do? He's like, he's blind. He's heard about Jesus. He says, Son of David, have mercy on him. He's trying to get his attention. It's not like he can get up and go to him because he can't see him. And then all the good church people with their code of conduct and orders, like, sit down, quiet down. That's Jesus. You can't talk like that. And so what does he do? He gets all the louder. He's like, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen.
And Jesus recognized his name. Not just rabbi, not this, not that. He's calling him by who he is. Bartimaeus is recognizing the word and his opportunity as it comes.
Amen.
Fast forward a little bit. Jesus says, come on.
Yeah.
What Bartimaeus does, he takes off his beggar's cloak. Now, I didn't do this research myself. I read other people were smarter than me with letters behind their names and figure out what it is. They issued a beggar's cloak was kind of like your EBT card. It gave you an official reason to beg. He takes it and he throws it away. Bear in mind, he's blind. He's not going to be able to find this cloak in the crowd ever again. Somebody's like, well, I could steal this and have my own EBT card, you know, and something. It's gone. So when he gets to Jesus asks him, what would you have of me? Obviously, Jesus can see this man is blind. And, you know, I was thinking about on our own prayer, I could ask, well, Lord, if you just opened one of my eyes, you know, then I'd be halfway. Or, Lord, if you just gave me, he could ask, Lord, just move on the hearts of people and have them give me better donations so that I can live better. But no, he realized who he was talking to, and he didn't have to have that false sense of humility. He wanted his eyesight.
That's right.
And that's what he told Jesus. I want to see. And that's what he get. So, and God was talking to me like, when you pray, pray for what you want. God is capable. He's willing, you know, just go for it. That whole false humility, it's silly.
Yeah.
And I've done it. You know, we probably all have done it at one time.
Yeah.
Amen.
But the nice little part of that about that, after Jesus opened his eyes, if you read it, just a little passage, you never hear about him again, but then he said, then he followed Jesus.
He just, you never hear about him, you know, as with the disciples or named ever again. But once he got the word,
yeah,
recognized what it was, he followed. That's the paraphrase. I got a lot more in my head than my mouth will produce, but we all know how that feels.
Amen. Go ahead, brother. So I thank God for being here this morning. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be here. Yes. First and foremost, I want to congratulate Sister Jada for graduating. So, you know, this time, you know, for you to graduate is a blessing. It really is. And you know, Brother Jay, you know, everybody knows he's a strong man. And you know, I thank God for him. He's been a true friend to me. Absolutely. Over the years. And you know, I made a comment, like, I think a few months ago about saying he wasn't a good parent. I'm thinking, like, if you bring your child here to this church, you're a great parent. Because this word is what's going to help the children. I mean, it's what helped me when my mom brought me here, when I was just bad and running amok, you know. But God will take care of it. He really will. Because Brother Moore has always said the prescription is get to the house. And that's the God's honest truth. That's the best prescription. And that's the greatest prescription. So I thank God for that. And, you know, Wednesday was a great message. I love how Brother Jeremiah brought it out about the bride, because God's going to take care of his children. He is. And I love that, because it's a promise and it's a guarantee. You don't have to even have to worry about it, because God's going to honor that.
Amen.
He is. And I really do love that. We don't have to doubt it. You know what Sister Michelle had said about calling the devil the other? I laugh, because we give credit to the devil so much. It's ridiculous. Like, the devil's going to do his part. But how much more can God do his part? You know? And I said, you know what? That's true. God's going to always do his part. I don't want to even look at the devil, because he's going to do his job. But God's going to do even much more. So I love that, because the bride's going to be taken care of. He is. I mean, and it's just a promise that we can hold on to. So I thank God for that. I love this message. I'm looking forward to the message this morning. I know it's going to be great. It's always great when you come here. It's always great. So thank you.
Amen. You know, I'm thankful for truth. Thankful for an understanding. You know, the thing about this morning, woke up this morning thinking a lot. And, you know, Brother Moore says he brings like 13 pages of notes here, and he can't get through half a page in 2 hours. And I'm sitting here bringing an hour's worth of thinking, and I'm supposed to get through it in 2 minutes. And I'm thinking, Lord, I got to narrow this down somehow. But, you know, I read a scripture.
Amen.
It's in 1 Peter 1, verse 2. It says, the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of blood to Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, you take a scripture like that with a revelation, and you just go all over the place.
Yeah.
But it's something I noticed, you know, Brother Moore said the three levels of protection. He knew it was right, but he didn't really know it was in the Bible until the other day. Exactly where it was at, and it was that plain. And I was thinking about the elect of God. I always thought about the elect of God. Now, elect means you're just chosen.
Yes.
You know, but I said, it's got to be by foreknowledge. Oh, yeah. And here I come across that scripture, the elect, by the foreknowledge of God. Yes. I said, that's right. That's right. You know, it's something. You think about Brother Branham. God gave him revelation. He turn to Brother Vail and said, find it. It's in there. Oh, yeah. It's in there somewhere. God told me, you know. And think about how this is so beyond real. You know, I was thinking, you know, I said a few weeks back, months back, whatever it was, I said, you know, I used to be a predestinated seed of God, but now I'm a manifested son of God. There's a whole lot of difference there. You know, this son of God, he's led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
You know, he talks to me.
Yes.
All along the way.
Oh, yes.
Every step that I go, he takes this word and he reveals it to me, and quickens it and breaks it down and ties it in with what understanding I have thus far. Yes. And just, you know, it's just an indwelling spirit that is so real.
Yes.
You know, we look at, well, the way I used to look at it, put it that way, and the way the denomination, you know, they get to a point and they got it. Yeah. You know, Jesus is my Savior. It's all I need. Well, if he was your Savior, he continued talking to you, you know.
Right.
And I thought the other day when they were being baptized, you know, baptized is an outward expression of an inward work.
Yes, right.
And but don't let that be the last outward expression. That's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning.
That's just the first outward expression, you know. And I think, Lord, and that's all he wants. And it's by faith. You ain't going to know what he's going to do. You know?
Right.
You won't be able to keep up with God. You just move as the Holy Spirit moves on you, you know. The ones who wrote the Old Testament, they didn't know the fulfillment of these scriptures. They just knew they were prophecies. And they moved as the Holy Spirit moved on them. They wrote, they prophesied as the Holy Spirit moved on them. Yes. And, but I'm thankful with it. I'm thankful also for the strength we get from here.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking about the types, you know, natural type. If you eat right, you'll be strong.
That's right.
You know, but, you know, you can also eat right and sit there and do nothing. I think about bodybuilders, you know, some of these guys, they'll go to the gym and that's their whole life, the gym.
Yeah.
And they don't do anything when they come out of the gym. They just maybe put on a tight T-shirt and they go back in the gym. And I'm thinking, you know, this here, what Brother Moore gives me here is not the end of it. That's just the beginning.
No. Yeah.
That's the thing that gives me the strength
to
go do what God leads me to do.
Yes.
You know, and and I think, Lord, just lead us more and more and more. Because... You know, and I think of Brother Brand so many times. You know, he was heading for the airport one time, and Holy Spirit said, just take a walk. You know, go miss his plane.
Oh, yeah.
You know, made no sense at all. But led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And he goes down there, and he said this lady was leaning on the fence. He said,
yep.
Morning, Pastor. Or
Parson.
Parson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And he said, good morning. Walked by. I said, how did she know I was a parson?
Yeah.
So, oh, God told me you'd be here.
Oh.
You know, and, you know, like we say, God sees around corners.
Yes,
God sees things we don't see. He's got this thing kind of stacked in his favor.
That's right.
And, you know, he leads. He leads the body of Christ just like that. And it takes a while to get used to it. Because first you think you're kind of nuts, you know. But, I mean, sometimes you get up here and you don't have nothing to say. But lo and behold, it's the best testimony you ever gave. You know? And sometimes Brother Moore gets there and he's all mixed up and he don't know what to do. He's nervous as a whatever when he comes through the door. He gets in here and God just lets it fall in place.
Yes.
And that's all by his faith, because he gets here and he believes God.
Yes.
He said, you made me pastor.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump. You take it. You catch me. And that's how every son of God is. Every child of God is exactly that way. You know, we walk by faith. You know, we don't walk by sight.
That's right.
He's got the sight. We have the faith. And so, you know, everyone comes here should be just as nervous as the pastor.
That's exactly right.
Say, Lord, what do you want out of me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there thinking all these thoughts this morning. I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want? And then after a while, you just say, Lord, you got it. You bring out what you want. You lay to my heart for a reason.
Yes.
And, you know, I'll express whatever you allow me to express. And, I'm thankful that God is so real, so true.
Yes.
Thankful for the nourishment we get here. You know, I was thinking about that type of between the natural and the spiritual. You know, most people are sick today because they won't eat right. You know, we got a high fructose corn syrup diet.
Oh, my.
You know, and I stop in the store and I say, well, what do you want from the sugar store? We're here. Try to sort it out, get something halfway nourishing. And I'm thankful to have such perfect, pure nourishment here in the spiritual.
Yes.
My spiritual man is very strong.
Yes.
My spiritual man has an immune system the devil can't touch.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my.
You know, you talk about a keto diet spiritually.
My.
There's no sugar in this. We don't need it. We got real nourishment.
Right.
We got food that'll take us as far as the next service.
Amen.
You know? And then, you know, I said something a while back, and I'd like to say it again. I might have been here 48 years, but I need my daily bread.
Yes.
I can't stop eating. It's not enough.
Can't stop. Yes.
I can't go home and sit down.
No.
You know, and the soul might be saved. I don't know. But I don't want to.
Right.
Yeah, I love to eat.
Yeah.
And I love to eat good food because it makes me strong. It makes me feel good.
Amen.
You know, it gives me the strength for the journey, for the next task ahead.
It
gives me the faith that I can believe God for the next step.
Yes,
because this is increasing as we go. You know, if we're going to get the body, get the dead up, get the body up, and change our bodies, faith to change our bodies, then we need to keep growing. We need to keep walking. We need to keep believing. We need to say, Lord, increase my faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother John.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. That is so true. You know, every time that I come to church before I come here, I think, how can I bless the body? What can I do? Yeah. Sometimes I get up, sometimes I don't. Right. But every time I come, I say, God, how do you want to use me?
Yeah.
And yes, I do get nervous. Oh, yeah, yes. I get nervous and say, God, what do you want?
Amen.
What do you want? You know, I took a picture out of my Bible of that scripture about being kind-hearted, because that just touched me, because, you know, we have a revelation, we have a birth, but God asks us to do things.
Yes.
He wants us to do things, and I read that, and I put it on my refrigerator to turn away wrath, and like Pastor says, not be angry at people, because this is a day and age when people are angry at each other. Yeah. You know, they drive down the road, and someone puts on their windshield washer, and it gets water on their car, and they shoot the person, you know, but then I looked at this scripture, and right above it, I got circled, sealed. So I'm sealed until my day of redemption. You know, so there's that balance. And I just praise God for that. And, you know, God does use us. You know, got Dawn a car. We bought a new car. And we go into the finance guy. And lo and behold, if that man doesn't pour his soul out to us, I mean, he's crying. And he says, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. Now, this is a man that's taking our money and, you know, doing all that. And we were in there for quite a while. And he told us, he said, I will never forget you. Now, that's not us in the natural. That's God, you know. And what do? We decide we don't like that car. And we go get a different car. And we go to this finance guy again. And just out of the blue, he pours his soul out about his daughter and what she's going through. And I mean, I'm talking 20 minutes of telling us his story. And we give him the word of God. We give him some counsel.
Yes.
And he told us, he says, I want you guys to come back and buy a car from us every day. I don't think I'll do that because I can't afford it. Because, you know, but that's God, how he uses you.
Right.
You know, and it's all those simple little ways. It's nothing big. It's never not big. It's those little things. It's going to the store and showing love to someone and just manifesting this thing that's in us. And, you know, God does talk to us. And, you know, I have to say, you know, like Don says, I've been here a long time, but it just feels like I'm just starting to understand it. You know, and every time I come to church, it's like I'm just starting to understand it. It's just an amazing thing, but it's not stagnant.
No.
It's not a cistern. When we're on the farm, we had a cistern, and you know that was rainwater. We had a wooden coal furnace, and all that dirt goes into that cistern, and there's wigglies in there. The only thing we use that for is to take baths, because in the beginning we didn't have flush toilets, but we used it to bath out of. But we drank well water.
Yeah.
Well water, that's clean, and that comes from the earth.
Right.
And you know, that's this word. This word is clean.
Yes.
This word is pure. And you know, we are a blessed people because there's not a lot of people that can come in. You know, there are even message churches. And I'm so glad Brother Moore settled me on that. Knowing your day and its message.
Yeah.
But some people walk deep and some people walk shallow, but they're still bride.
Come on.
They're still bride. But we are a blessed, blessed people
Amen.
To come here and not a scruple, not a thought, nothing to hold us down. Total freedom.
Amen.
And you don't find that many places. And that's why God has us few. Because if there were many, I couldn't get up here and talk.
No.
I might have to write it on a paper and he would read it or something. Or, it, you know, when there's a lot, you have to structure it. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
But thank God for just a few strong soldiers dedicated and grounded on the Word of God.
Amen. God bless you, Brother John. Let me get these announcements out of the way here. June 1st, we got the Women's Fellowship. Jay and Jeremiah go to Elkton, Kentucky on June 8th and 9th. And then we got the church camping trip, the sign-ups in the back, July 20th, 2 p.m. departure. And that's it. For now, and then after service, we have fellowship. So please stay and fellowship. Go ahead, sis. You'll be the last one.
I'm grateful for the Word of God. I'm grateful that He constantly speaks to me. And it was a I get when they say it's a struggle to get up here sometimes, because I was like, no, they don't need to hear what I have to say, but they also say, tell where you're at. When I first started, it was said that by his stripes, you were healed, even before you knew you were afflicted. And I heard that, and I understood that, and I fully believed that when I prayed, you all would be healed. That was a no-brainer, right? And then it moved to, my family would be healed, okay? But we've all already been healed. It's already past tense. And you know, I've been struggling. My family's been struggling with sicknesses and infections and all sorts of weird stuff, right? And I could pray over my kids and my husband, hands down. I'd pray for myself, but my belief wasn't there. It was a ritual. It was a thing.
Come on.
And I kept doing it though. I kept praying for myself too, because I can't leave myself out. My prayers count. All of our prayers count, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the other day, it started again. And I thank God for my healing that he's already provided.
Amen.
And you know, the symptoms will still come. And it's like, I believe Brother Branham said, you're okay. You're already healed. You talk like that. You say that.
Amen.
Because sometimes I'll talk and I'll say things that are against that. No. When I pray for my healing, I stand on it, and guess what?
That's right.
Every moment.
Yeah.
Starting from Wednesday, every moment that I would do that, I noticed my symptoms would just diminish.
That's right. Yeah.
Because my faith increased, my belief increased for my own healing. And so I hear a lot of people come up here and they say, I want my healing. I want my mountain, right? Keep believing.
Yes.
Yeah. Keep believing. Because just as much as we prayed for Brother Jay and he's still here, right?
Yep.
Just as much as we can pray for our families, our extended families, the ministry, it's just a building. It's like building a Lego set, one after another, after another. And I thank God for my healing, because he already paid for it before I even had the first symptom.
Amen. God bless you, sis. Thank God for the testimonies. Yes. And also, you guys keep Brother Mike Bryce and his wife in your prayers. She just went through some kind of surgery or something like that, but she's doing better now. So just pray for their family and keep them in your thoughts. Let's sing Song 57 out of the Only Believe, Battle Hymn of the Republic. Because God's truth is always marching on.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what wrapper it may be in, what vessel he may use, his truth is always marching on.
Amen.
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Sentenced by the dim and flaring lamps, his day is marching. trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, his truth.
He is sounding forth the trumpet. He is sounding forth the trumpet that will never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before the judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer and be jubilant, my feet. Oh, God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Yes, glory, glory, hallelujah. It's true, it's marching on. Oh, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth, his marching on.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, knowing that, Lord, you are the Almighty God that sees all, that knows all the hearts that were going to be in this place this morning. And Lord, the service that you built for us here today is specific for our needs today. That's why, Jesus, you said, give us this day our daily bread. For every day is specific. Every need is specific. And Lord, every service is designed for the body of Jesus Christ, that we could come and receive answers to sometimes questions we don't even know we have. Sometimes we have questions and don't know the answers. And Lord, you come amongst us and you get it to us. You feed us and you comfort us and you give us direction. You give us hope. You never left us without hope. And Father, as we gather here this morning, we're glad to be in this house one more time. David said it right when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Lord, I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad that you're here, because you said in your word that where two or three are gathered, you'd be in the midst. And Lord, we got enough here today for you to be amongst us. And because that's your word, I know you're here. Ask you to open this word up to our hearts, Lord. I've got the Bible open. I've got the notes out. But Lord, without you, we can do nothing. But through you, all things are possible. So I ask you to take the next few minutes this morning and come by here. Speak to our hearts and just let us rejoice when we leave here. And let us be like a disciple said on the road to Emmaus. How much our hearts did burn. How did our heart burn within us when we talk with you along the way? Talk to us this morning, Lord. Burn our hearts and help us to use the word that's about to become real in our lives. Let it be a strength to us. Let it give us guidance and guide our footsteps. And when we leave here, we'll leave here knowing that, Lord, you're with us, guiding us, protecting us, keeping us. Lord, that's your job. That's what you do. And we want to thank you for it in advance. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and it's good to have Eula with us today. Good to have her here with us. She's the girl that looks like the girl that she's sitting next to. And it's good to be back in the house one more time. And this is the anniversary almost of Brother Childers leaving us 5 years ago. Is it today or tomorrow? The 26th is when today? 26th. Actually, he left here on a Sunday. And the tornado hit on Monday. So it's 5 years ago today that he left, and we blamed him for the tornado. Because there were like 19 tornadoes in the Montgomery County, and it hit every town around except for Fairborn. And if you look at the where the tornado actually went, it actually went around Fairborn. It hit Beaver Creek, but they went around Fairborn and hit everything under the sun. I never had 19 tornadoes in one night, but so I blamed Brother Childers for that. I said that was his going away present. But God bless him. I miss him. He's been gone 5 years, and I miss him every day that he's not here. So I appreciate all that he has done to get us to where we are today. And it's been a blessing to be here in this place, to be able to take this message that he gave his life for and to do the same with my own life. And Lord Terry's, I'll pass it over to Jeremiah, and it'll be on his life. He'll be up here saying these things. But I've had a good walk with God. I'm not sorry about ever picking up the Word of God and becoming one with it, because one thing I found out that he didn't just start looking and working and protecting and guarding for me. He did it all my life. And, you know, I never really thought that I was going to ever serve God when I was a teenager. Wasn't planning on it. Mama gave me an option to stay home, and I thought that was the best decision she'd ever made. I took her up on that so fast that I didn't go to another service. And didn't plan on going to church, didn't plan on preaching, didn't plan on doing anything for God at all. That is not my plan. And here, they told me the other day, I've been pastor for 28 years, so you know, that's a crazy number. Don said he's been here 48, and I've been here 44, John's been here 44, 45. You know, you got some people been around. And it's been a good trip. I can't look back in 44 years and say I regretted a day of it. Was it easy? No. Did you go through things? Yes. Went to at least two or three splits. People leaving left and right. On and on and on. And you have to fight for this. You have to fight to be a Christian. You really do. It's not just something you just lay back and just let it happen. No. No, you got to fight. The song says, be brave against all evil. Never run. Nor even lag behind. You got to run this thing. That's why Paul said, run it with patience. You know, don't get impatient. You say, oh, he didn't come today. Don't worry about it. Keep running. When you're running those long miles like the least does, you know, you don't see the finish line where you're starting. You just go around corner after corner after corner, and you keep going because you say, somewhere along the line, there's a tape. You know, I've been running this life a little bit of time, and now I'm looking and saying, somewhere around one of these corners, I'm going to find the finish line. And we're going to find the finish line. So you got to keep pushing, keep pressing, keep fighting. You know, it's a war. You're fighting against the devil. Or as Michelle says, the other. You're fighting against the other. And when you're fighting against the other, you know, you don't just lay down your sword. You got to keep pushing. Because the whole time he's telling you it ain't. And you got to tell him it is. And he'll tell you you're not. And you got to tell him I am. And he say, you're not going. I'll say, I've already made it. Well, that's the way you got to deal with the devil. You just got to put him in his, you know, you can put him in his place now. I mean, we didn't know that before. We thought the devil had some kind of power and authority, and the devil made me do it and everything else under the sun. But we found out that, you know what? God's had a plan for us all the way through. He has never left us without some way of getting help. He said, I would never get you tempted more than you could bear. He said, with every temptation, I'll make a way out. See, he's never left us without a way out. That's what I love about God, is that he's never left us out there by ourselves. When it seems like you're by yourself, you're not. When you seem like you're walking alone, you're not. You're never alone. That old poem that says when you're walking and on the footsteps and you see there's only one steps and you're thinking, God, you every time I ran through trouble and problems, you left me alone. And he said, look, what you don't understand is when you see that double set of footprints, I'm walking with you. But then when you see one step, that's not you walking, that's me walking. I take you through your problems. And that's what he does with each one of us. He gets us through. If there's loneliness, he gets us through. With their losses, he gets us through. When there's a failure in your job or your home or your friends or in yourself, he gets us through. It's not you doing it, it's him doing it. And every time you get into something, he always gets you out. Have you ever noticed that? Yes. You never get in nothing that you don't get out of. You say, oh, Lord, you know that old line we use. Lord, if you ever get me out of this one. Y'all ain't never said that. But if you ever get me out of this one, Lord, I'll never do it again. And you tell him, oh, no, Lord, I ain't swearing. But I'm just saying, now, if you'll just get me out of this, we say that, and we say that, and we say that, and every time we say that, he gets us through. And you don't even know how you get through till you look back and see where he's brought you from. And you look, you're like, I'd have never made it through that. I could have never got that answer right. I could have never figured out that situation. I could have never. No, you couldn't. God will put you in situations, or you put yourself in situations, and God has to get you out. And sometimes God getting you out is letting you go through. Because sometimes you're going through stuff, you learn things. I always say, don't go through something and don't learn anything. Get the gold out of everything you do. Amen. Get the gold out of every area of your life. If you're single, enjoy it. Amen. Don't lament the married people. Because let me tell you something, singles. The married people are lamenting the singles. They say, oh, I remember when. Oh, I didn't have to. Oh, it was so much cheaper. Then they get married and want kids. Oh, I want kids. Then you have kids and, oh, I can't afford them. They eat up. But you know what? Every stage of your life is beautiful. Every stage. Kid, adult, single, married. Every bit of it is beautiful. And then when you get to grandparents, it's beautiful. You get to send them home. So don't go through life always looking for the next exit. There's some people who can't even enjoy this life because they're so spiritual. Oh, I got to go to heaven. You go to heaven when it's time. Don't worry about getting there now. Oh, I can't stand being on the earth. This world is so bad, and I just got to get out of here. You don't get in that big a hurry. You got a beautiful life in your hand that God has given you. Enjoy it. Live it. Just live. Enjoy life. And whatever state you're in, the Bible tells me to be content. And don't worry about tomorrow and trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough evil to take care of itself. You don't have to worry about that. Enjoy today. We're going to have a picnic coming. Enjoy it. Oh, we're going to. No, enjoy it. Take advantage of every day that God gives you. If you're breathing, if you're living, if you're moving, it's because the God has given you another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. It didn't say be mad about it or sad about it. Rejoice in the day that God's given you. Don't sit here looking for a way out. He is the way out. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The only way out is with him. If you're going out on him, you're going out all right. Amen. But while you're here, enjoy this thing. And realize that he's got your life. He's got you. And he didn't just get you. He always had you. You were never without the hand of God on you. That's what we forget is we think God, just because I'd come up and I got baptized, now, hallelujah, God's with me. He was with you before you got baptized. Because what you got to understand is he's only coming after his own. My kids, before they gave me any money. They still don't give me any money, couldn't think of it. They're still my kids, though. They don't have to pay me back. They don't have to give me money. And it's, we were God's children before we were manifested. Before you were even born, you were already in his mind. You were already in his plan. He didn't, by mistake, just grab you up and put you out here and say, well, now I got you here. You know how some people are. They have kids, and they're like, well, oops, I shouldn't have had that one. But, well, now I got you. I better raise you. That ain't the way God works. God saw you in his mind before the foundation of the world. Everything that God had did, he did for you. He planned for you. He put a plan in place before you even had a thing to say about it. And when God started working on you, he started working on you from the day you were born. Amen. From your first breath of life. Amen. God said, that's mine. And I've got to watch over this one. Because he's going to mess things up, and he's going to have problems, and he's going to trip up, and he's going to have this on him. He's going to go through this. He's going to go through that. I'm going to have to send my angels down to protect him. And then what God does, he protects you all the way through your life till you get to a place he says, okay, now I'll get him under the word. And then he gets you under the word, and he quickens the part of him that's in you. It's always been God. It was God was in you. God always was there. He said, oh, you believe you're reincarnation. I ain't talking reincarnation. I'm talking about a seed of God. I'm talking about a piece of God himself. I'm talking about God eternity living in you from the day you were born. You don't get eternal life. I cannot give you eternal life today. If you don't have eternal life already, you'll never get it. The reason it's called eternal is because it doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end. And when you have eternal life, it's just the life of God manifesting itself out through you. He ain't coming to get in you. He's already there. Oh my, the life in the seed is not being put in the seed. The life is in the seed from the beginning. When you put water in a seed, you don't give it life. You bring out the life that's in it. Oh my, a seed of God don't get life. God brings the life out that's in you. So he was watching over you the whole time. You were never alone. He had your every breath. He knows exactly how many times your heart's going to beat. He knows exactly how many breaths you're going to take in life. He knows exactly everything about you because he purposed in himself to take care of you because you belong to him and are a part of him. And you come from God and you're going back to God. This thing ain't that hard. It ain't that hard. If you come from God, he's going to take care of you. He'll supply all your needs. He's going to give you everything you have need of for your entire life. Right. Even before you got saved. Amen. We think salvation is where God started looking at you. He always had you. Well, I better get started. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 2, to chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I want to start a little bit. It's a little bit of reading. That's what I'd let you sit because it's not a whole lot, but now let's stand. It ain't that long. I just looked. I said, it ain't that long. Genesis chapter 22. And we want to start at verse 5. Here's our friend Abraham. We love talking about Abraham. Abraham was given a task to do by God, something that was impossible. God said, take your kid up there and kill him. Yeah, I ain't been tried like that yet. So Abraham took him up there. And he did exactly what he was ordained to do. He said he followed wholly the Lord. He believed God. He waited until God told him to do something. And when God said, do it, he did it. We could learn from that. Yes. Verse 5, and Abraham said unto the young man, he was a prophet too, because watch him prophesy. Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Yeah. He already knew. Whatever you're going to do, God, you promised me the son. You said I was going to be the father of many nations. So I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. And it don't look right. It don't look good. I can't explain it, but I'm going to do it because you said it. But I do know one thing. This is my son that you promised me. You gave him to me. And you're telling me to take him up here and sacrifice him. And I said, okay, we're going to go up here, but me and the lad, we're coming back. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, a type. His son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, said, we're missing something. And said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, my son, listen to another prophecy here. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. He didn't know that. So they went, both of them together. His son's like, okay. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He wasn't playing. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Same thing he said before. Here am I. It's whatever. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know. I didn't know before. Till it was manifested, I didn't even know. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Like the title of the message this morning, a ram in the bush. And I want to start with Abraham, because Abraham was the chosen of God. And when you are the chosen of God, God has his hand on you your entire life. He's never, never left you thinking, well, you can't, we can't, I can't. What are you doing? What's happening? God's never worked that way. When he told Abraham he was going to give him a son, he knew he was going to test him. He knew he was going to try him. He knew Abraham loved his boy, but he also knew that Abraham was faithful to him. But see, the thing about it, you might be a seed of God, but until there is a manifestation of that seed, there is no proof of who you are. I don't care how much Abraham said he loved God. I don't care how much Abraham believed that he was a son of God. I don't care how much Abraham believed he's the father of many nations. Abraham had to be tested. Abraham had to be tried. God did not know until Abraham showed him. Same with you. Same with me. We could say we're a son of God. We could say we're a seed of God. We could say we belong to God. But you're not going to know that until you test it. You don't know what's in you until you test it. That's why I said when a man and woman first marry, they don't even know. They say they love each other, but they don't know. They got to go through something. They got to go through some trials. They got to go through some childbearing. They may have to go through a couple of miscarriages together. And they may have to go through some struggles with money. They may have to go through struggles with jobs. And as they stay by each other's side, and as they hang in there together, and as they hold each other up, and as they move together as one body, they finally realize, you know, I love you. And you love me. How do you know? Because you said it? No. Oh, people say they love each other all the time. That's no proof. The proof is when you go through something. And the proof is when you stay in there. You endure until the end. That's why he said the ones that hang in there are the ones that are going to be saved. The proof of you being saved is that you hang in there. The proof that you're a son of God is that you manifest your sonship. The proof that you love God is that it shows in your life. If you tell me you love God, you know how Brother Brown said, if you say you have a wife and you never produce her, I got a right to doubt you. He said, I'm married. And you have a wife, and I've never seen her. She'd never come around. You ain't got a wife as far as I'm concerned. I got to act like you don't have one. That's like these preachers when I go over to the Philippines. And they say they're a pastor in waiting. I said, what is that? I'm a pastor. I have the gift, the office of a pastor, but I'm waiting to get a congregation. I said, well, then you're not a pastor. If I say I'm a shepherd and I walk around here with a stick, but you don't see no sheep following me, I'm just a man with a cane. It don't make no difference what you say. Your life will prove who you are. I don't have to prove I love my wife. All she got to do is look back at what I've done for her. How I treated her, how I kept her. She don't have to tell me, I love you. I don't have to hear all that. Your very actions prove to me that you love me. And most of the people who say they love each other, they don't. Because they don't have nothing to show for it. She's going her way. He's going his way. Kids going their way. That ain't love. If you say you love God, he said, if you say you love me, you keep my commandments. It's more than just talk. It's more than just joining a church. More than just coming in a door. And you got to give your life. You give your life to the one you love. You give your life to serving the one you love. Amen. And it manifests itself every day. Amen. It manifests. You shouldn't even have to question whether you love your spouse. Amen. Shouldn't. Right. It should show. Amen. If Clarissa said to me, do you love me? Do you love me? You know, I wouldn't even answer her. I wouldn't answer. Because I'd say, you should know. By this, they'll know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another. Yes. Your love shows. It doesn't just talk. I can't stand people just talk love. Everybody's have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. You go to McDonald's drive-thru, have a blessed day. Go to Walmart. Have a blessed day. You think the whole country is a country full of Christians. But it's become a habit for people to say, have a blessed day. That's all it is. I'd rather just say good day to you. It's just saying something. If you're not a real believer and you don't have no kind of blessings about you, you can't bless me. You can't bless my day. I think only believers should be able to say that. That's the way I feel about it. But I know that ain't going to happen because everything that glistens ain't gold. Just because you go to church don't mean you're a believer. I'm talking about somebody really loves God. I'm talking about somebody really dies in himself. That's the one God's after, because you know what? God is after you. If you belong to him, he's after you. And he won't stop until he gets you. He always gets his man. He always get the person he's after, and he takes care of them. He take care of you when you didn't even take care of yourself. He loved you when you didn't love him. When you were unlovable, he loved you. When you weren't even doing the right thing, he still loves you. He should have thrown you away. When he should have thrown me away, he loved me despite myself. Because I come from him. He's responsible for me. He's going to make sure I get back. He cannot lose me because I'm a part of him. Amen. He's got you covered. So here Abraham was, a son of God, trying to do the will of God. But what he didn't realize, that what he was going through was just a test. He was prophesying, saying what was going to happen before it happened. He prophesied and didn't even listen to his own words. Because if he had listened to his own words, when he got up on the mountain with his son Isaac, he would have been looking for that ram in the bush. But see, it wasn't time for the manifestation of the ram. If he had looked for it before the time of manifestation happened, he wouldn't have seen a ram. Matter of fact, that ram wouldn't have been there. If he got up there with Isaac, I know God told me to kill you, but I can't do it. I can't do it. God would have said, there's my proof. There's my proof right there. You're not true. Now I know. I ain't trusting you with the father of many nations because you don't follow my word. So that's what we do. We come to church, we act like we serve God, but God tells you to do something. And first thing you do is tell him, I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't feel like it. It's not my way of doing things. I feel like God ain't worried about what you think. God ain't worried about what you love. God ain't worried about whether you love Isaac or not. It's like, take him up there and kill him. And then God just stood back and watched. Now you say, well, God's all-knowing. Yes, he is. But God, you got to understand how all-knowing works. God's all-knowing works because he can go to the end and go back and see what the decision was. But when it comes to the manifestation, he doesn't know what you're going to do until you do it. You say, that doesn't make sense. It does, because that's the way God wants it. God wants you to be a free moral agent. He don't want a robot. He don't want you to come and him tell you what to do and you do it. And he don't want somebody's going to serve him that way. He wants somebody that's going to serve him because they love him. He wants somebody that loves him so much that they'll lay their life down and give him any and everything he wants. Amen. That's what he wants. But you know what? Because he is God, he already knows what you're going to do. But he has to stand back himself and let you do it. That's why he threw free moral agency in there. Because if he didn't, then he would have been accused of making you serve him. See, some people come to church because they think they have to come. They think that God's making them. They think that God's forcing them. God ain't forcing you. You're going to serve God because you love God, or don't serve him. Because you know what? Your service will not even be accepted by him if it doesn't come from your heart. So he knows what you're going to do because he's God. But he can't even help you, not in that sense. He's got to let you love him. He's got to let you decide, I'm going to come to church today. He's got to let you decide, I'm going to serve him. You don't serve God because God's forcing you. You serve God because you understand it, you love what God's doing, and you don't see it any other way. Then God says, now I can help you. And that's where he sends in the foolish virgins. See, foolish virgins are here to help you. They're here because you want to serve God so bad. You want to do the things to please God, that God will bring you some people. He'll bring you a ram in a bush.
Yes.
To help you serve him. He knew Abraham loved him, but he had to wait to do anything to help Abraham. God will send you through trials. But God ain't going to make you do it. You say, well, I ain't going to look to God for help on this one. Well, then don't. Good luck with that. I look to God to help me on everything. When I wake up in the morning, Lord, guide my feet. When I go to eat something, Lord, bless this food. When I go to drive away, Lord, give me a safe journey. When you come home, Lord, thank you for bringing me back home to my family.
When I get ready to go to bed, lay me down to sleep. Lord, I pray my soul to keep. I pray to God all day long. I just don't do it Sunday and Wednesday before we read the scripture. I do it all day long because God wants you to praise him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to serve him because you love him. Amen. It's not the other way around. You don't love him because you serve him. You serve him because you love him. And if you start serving God, God will give you everything you need. He'll give you a ram in a bush. He'll give you somebody to support you. He'll give you a bride. He'll bring you a friend. He'll do all these things to help you along the way because you got a journey and you got to get back to him where you come from. That's who you are. You don't even realize how important you are. You think this thing is just spinning around and we just fell into church and, oh, we're here, we're God. No, God's after you. And then God's going to put you through some things to bring you to a place where you got to look for that ram in the bush. He's done it all the way through the book. He's done it with every believer, every person in that Bible. They always had to look for the ram in the bush. They always had to wait around to see how God's going to help them out because you can't do this on your own. You can't navigate this world on your own. You say, I'm a smart person. I'm an educated person. I can do well in this world. We're like sheep. Well, sheep are pretty dumb. I hate to tell y'all this, but sheep are pretty dumb. They'll follow a goat up to their death just because he's going that way. It's like, where are you going? I'm right with you. But the goat will jump off before he gets to the door. And the dumb sheep still walk. Where'd he go? Did he go in here? Just dumb. But God wants you dumb. Because he doesn't want somebody that has all the answers. Right. Amen. He wants you to depend on him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to believe him. He wants you to take him at his word. Abraham needed to take him at his word. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you this son and you're going to be the father of many nations. Then he told him, go kill him. Did that make sense? Abraham was like, I don't understand. And the thing about it, you don't have to understand. Loving God is not understanding every move. How are you going to get a body change? What's going to happen to those 16 elements? How's that going to happen? You don't know. Only God knows. You don't know how it's going to work. Only God knows how it's going to work. You don't know when it's going to happen. Only God knows when it's going to happen. You just have to be like Abraham and have faith. God said, take my son and kill him. I'm going to do it. But God already promised me back here. See, God already said. See, that's what we need to do. Realize that there is a ram in the bush for every situation in your life. Amen. With every temptation, he makes a way out. With every problem, when you're hurt and you're down and you're looking for answers, God is your answer. And he'll give you a way out. He'll give you hope when you don't feel like you have hope. Notice, Brother Branham said, Genesis 22, 16 and 17, up on the mountain where God showed Abraham to go. And there he saw a ram hooked by the horns in the wilderness. Notice quickly now, after he had took Isaac and bound him, which was his natural son, laid him upon the altar to take his life. And then he started to take his life in obedience of the love love to God. And when he did, something happened. He heard a voice in Abraham, stay your hand, for I know thou lovest me. And then he heard a ram blade hooked by the horns in the wilderness, behold, behind him. And he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And the reason that's important is because as believers, we forget that. We forget that God is going to supply you with everything. We forget. We forget that God's got you. We forget that God will take care of you. Here you are thinking you're out of work, don't have any money, don't have a way to get anything, and God will bless you. Here you are thinking that you're down to your last dime, and all of a sudden somebody gives you something. I had a check come in the mail the other week, and it's from the government, and they sent it. I don't know why they sent it. I just kept it. I got a letter. I got the check first, and actually, I needed the money.
And the check came, and Clarice said, there's a check. And I thought, okay, who is it from? And I looked at it, and you know, they had those rainbow colors all over. And so, oh, that's Uncle Sam. So I looked at it, and it was a nice check. And I don't know why he sent it. Well, I do now, but I didn't at the time know why he sent it. I just knew it was right on time. And I took that thing, and I cashed that thing. And about a week or two later, I got a letter from the government saying, oh, we need to send you a check for this amount. I already had the check and put it in the bank. God will take care of you. Amen. He will make sure that you're taken care of because you belong to him. Amen. He will supply all your needs. He'll make sure you're covered. When you get sick, he'll have somebody bring you over something that'll make you feel better. He'll take care of you. And, you know, it's so much more so in a body. When you're in a body like this, oh, my goodness, God always supplies. It'll come from here. It'll come from there. This will do this and this will do that. They'll give you whatever. Whatever God tells them to do. But God will do that. He'll take care of you. He is not going to leave you alone. Let me tell you about another case. Oh, Samson. Won't have to read it. It's Judges chapter 15. But Samson had a problem. He was a man of God, sent from God, strong man. Long as he had his long hair, he had strength. Well, he got in the middle of a disagreement with his brothers, and they tied him up with strong new rope. And they thought, okay, we're gonna deliver you to the Philistines. We're going to fix this. They told him, he said, don't you know the Philistines own us? We work for them. You know, we got to take care of them. We ain't worried about you. So they tied him up. And he took him down there, and he said, you're going to do me too? They said, no, we're not going to kill you. We're just going to give you to the Philistines. Then they'll kill you. And so they took him down to the Philistines, and Samson broke out of the ropes, and out of nowhere, a jawbone of an ass is laying. Where did that come from? God's like, oh, we're going to make this fight fair. But he threw down there a jawbone of an ass. And he took that jawbone and killed 1,000 Philistines. And Samson wasn't a big man. He's just strong. He's a little short, ruddy, strong guy. But God said, we're going to even this up. And he gave him that jawbone. God gave him the jawbone. Just like God put the ram in a bush. God gave him the jawbone and said, you're going to beat their heads in with that. And Samson killed 1,000 of them. God will provide. Amen. Brother Brown said he knows what he was born for. He's talking about Samson. He knew where he stood. And I like this because Brother Brown was just describing him. The thing he had in his hand made no difference. He stood there. And as those Philistines come, and that powerful lick of the little shrimp standing upon a rock. He said he's so short he stood on a rock so he could reach their head. that little shrimp standing up on a rock to reach the top of their heads. When they run up there, he would knock one way and one the other. And they laid 1,000 of them, laid dead. It was a paradox how the mule's jaw held together. That was the paradox. It was a paradox how that little piece of brittle bone would break through those inch-thick helmets and brass and slay those Philistines. 1,000 of them stood there with it in his hand, and just as good as it was when he picked it up. It's a paradox. God will provide. You think you got to do something? You don't have to do nothing. Look around you. Look around what's laying in your... Remember Moses? Moses went down there to take care of the children of Israel. And before he went down there, he was having an argument with God because Moses thought, God, you're saying to me, I killed a man. I ain't no good. I'm this. I'm that. And he'd given God all these reasons and excuses why he can't go. God said, what's in your hand? Stick. Use what you got. That's what God wants us to do. Use. If God gives you something, he gives it to you to use. I was reading, I won't go there, but I was reading about the rich man who had a penny, and he gave all of his employees a penny, and he left. And when he went away, one of the employees took his penny and invested it. And he ended up with 10 pennies. Another one took his penny and invested it. Ended up with 5 pennies. Third one got his penny and shoved it under his pillow. Hid it. And when the master came back, he's like, let's see what people have done with what I've given them. What are you doing with what I gave you? What are you doing with your talents? He went and he talked to the person who had 10 talents. He said, well, I took it, I invested your one, and now you have 10. He said, very good. Went to the 5 and said, I had your talent, and I used it, and now I have 5. He said, that's very good. He went to the one that hid it under the pillow. He said, where's yours? He said, I kept it safe for you, sir. And that talent that I had, I still have it. Never invested, never used that penny for nothing. Just held on to it and thought he was going to be happy with him because he was just holding on to what he had. Think about that. Why have God called you? He's given each one of us a penny. What are you doing with what he's given you? Are you turning around and investing it? Or are you sitting on your bench making sure that your Holy Ghost stays safe? Amen. Examine yourself. I could tell you. I could tell when people have money. I could tell when they don't. I could tell when you've invested your talent, and I could tell when you don't. But the question I'm asking this morning is, what are you doing with your talent? What are you doing with your penny? Your life could be as, but Brother Branham said, all he's got to do is get one man in his hand and he can turn a city upside down. All he needs is you to give your talent to him and let him use you. Don't you decide what he's going to do with it, because that's what our problem is. It's not my makeup. Oh, I can't. Oh, I can't. Oh, I have a problem with that. Oh, I can't. I'm short here and I'm not. You're just like Moses. Just the difference between Moses and Joshua, God told Moses, I chose you. Moses like, oh, I can't speak. Can Aaron go with me? I can't do this by myself. He told Joshua, I've chosen you. Joshua's like, come on. That's the difference. That's what God wants. He wants us to take what he's giving you, because he has given you something every week. Every service, you come back, you walk out of here with something. I know you do. Because I watch you walk out with it. You walk out of here every service with something. And what do you do with it when you get out there? Do you invest it? Do you love your neighbor? Do you consider what was given you? Or do you just sit at home on your one penny and say, I'll bring it next Sunday. And you come next Sunday, you're just as in the same shape, I'll say. In the same shape as you were last week. You know why people don't change? Because they don't invest what God gives them. No, it's not in my notes. I'm just telling you. I just happened to read that when I was reading things. I started reading yesterday, and I read down through those the talents and the penny, and then I thought, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know I was going to use this today. But I'm here now, so it's the message now. What are you doing with what God's given you? Amen. And when you got something, and you get something every service, you should take it, apply it to your life, and let it become one with you and invest. There ought to be a bit of obligation.
Amen.
Let's think about another ram in the bush. Oh, Jonah. Everybody loves talking about Jonah. He's hard-headed, self-willed, and he loved to fish. Jonah thought, God said, Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh. Jonah said, it's too nice out. I think I'm going to take this first boat on the right, and we're going to go out and do some deep-sea fishing and have a good old day. And sun was shining, beautiful day. Jonah climbed on that boat, got out there. Sun disappeared. Some horrendous clouds showed up. And God just started knocking that boat around. It's like, oh, God, well, somebody's God's upset. See, they weren't even, that's what happened when you hang around with the world. They don't know nothing about God. They don't. They're like, somebody's God's upset. Who made their God mad? And they're like, oh, I don't know. Pray to your God, whichever one he is. Pray. Go to the church of your choice. You know, do something. This world's falling apart. Jonah's like, it's me. Like, what do you mean it's you? Well, God told me to go to Nineveh, and I didn't go, so you might as well tie me up, throw me overboard, feed me to the fish. You know, I'm a dead man now. He's through me. See, the thing is, God's never through with you. You might feel like it. And he might have to knock your boat around a little bit. But he always gives you a ram in the bush. When Jonah got thrown over head first, God had already for years prepared a fish, knowing he was going to be hard-headed, knowing that he wasn't going to listen. But God always also knew more about Nineveh than Jonah did. God knew that Nineveh served the fish god. That was their god. And God knew the only way that Nineveh was going to listen is if somebody were to show up by the mouth of their god. So here Jonah thought he was getting away from God, but he was walking right into God's plan. And when they threw him overboard, this fish that God had raised, made specific for Jonah, had his name on it. That fish swallowed Jonah. Jonah had a room just the size that was enough room for him. Enough air in there to keep him for 3 days. Set on a tonsil or something, it was just for one. That was his home for 3 days. And Jonah's like, oh, Lord, I messed up. You know how we get. Lord, if you ever get me out, you know, I ask y'all. Lord, if you ever get me out of this, here we go again. Lord, if you ever get me out of this one. Samson at the last of his life. Lord, if you just help me one more time. Just once more, Lord. See, we get, God knows how to get you to pray. He knows how to get you to pray. He knows how to get you to look for that ram in the bush. He knows how to get you to look for that way out. And here Jonah was down in the bottom of the ocean in the fish's belly, and he's like, I'm going to, Lord, you know, I feel like I need to pray. And I'm going to face Jerusalem. He don't know which way Jerusalem is. Right. I'm going to face the temple. But it wasn't a physical face the temple. He got his mind straightened out. See, that's what we do. We get our mind straightened out. Right. We do what we want. But then God has to put us in the belly of a whale, a belly of a fish, or a belly of our problems or situation, and get us to a place where we finally say, Lord, I'm facing you now. I need your help. Just once more, Lord, if you get me out of this one last time, just once more. So Jonah did all his mess, and God had to use Jonah's. The fish come up and it's like, man, I ain't feeling so hot. And he got over to that shoreline, just happened to be in Nineveh. And just so happened that the Ninevites were over there at the beach, probably down there in church, worshiping their fish god. And here comes this humongous fish up out of nowhere, coming to the dry land, rolled his tongue out. It's like, oh, I don't feel so good. Ugh! And here comes Jonah. Where am I? You're in Nineveh. He got there faster than if he had taken the bus. He got there faster than anything. And not only that, now he's got their attention. They're like, who is this man that came out of our God? So they listened and they repented. And then Jonah got mad. He got mad because they repented. He thought, God, I did all this work. You should destroy them. It's like, man. But that's what we do. We use God. We get out of situations. And then we forget. But in whatever you're going through, look for the ram in the bush. Amen. Whatever problems you're having, if it's sickness, there's a ram in a bush called healing that's available to you. If you're in trouble somewhere, there's a ram in a bush to get you out of trouble. There's always a way out for you. You're never at the end of your rope.
What's that old saying? If you have to end your rope, tie a knot and say, hang on. Because that's where God can move. That's where he can come forth and he can give you what you need. None of us in here should ever feel like we're left out there in the dark. We got so much hope. We got so much, and God's always provided. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. He'll supply it. He'll give you what you need. You don't have to feel like you're at a dead-end street. There's nobody in that Bible that you can bring up that God didn't make a way out for him. They all had a way out. Now listen to what Brother Branham said, and I'm going to wrap this up because I know we got a picnic thing going on, but I wanted to get this point across, that ram in the bush is there for you. In your life, there is a ram in the bush. When you're in trouble and there's a problem, don't go and just go to the world. Go to God. God will supply it. The world can't supply it. The world will let you down. The world will foreclose. The world will take advantage of you. But when you go to God, God will always supply what you need and make a way out for you. And nobody else can do anything about it, but he can. Brother Branham said, Enoch needed a ladder one day. He had walked 500 years with God. And it pleased him. He needed a ladder. God provided him a highway. Walked right up home. Elijah needed a rope one time. And God gave him a chariot with horses to it. Oh my. Samson needed a spear. And God gave him a jawbone of a wild mule. And he beat down 1,000 Philistines with it. God provides your need. God always provides. God has a way. What if Samson said, now wait a minute, this jawbone isn't sharp. It isn't a spear. Look at them big, thick helmets on those Philistines. He just took God's provided way and beat right into it. See, the thing is, a lot of times we want answers. But what God's going to provide you with is not even normal. Right. You're not going to get an answer like everybody else does. God's going to do the impossible with you because you belong to him. Right. He'll protect you and things will happen for you that shouldn't normally happen. There's no way that jawbone should have held up. There's no way that Moses should have been able to get those children out. There's no way that they should have crossed. Remember, they had to cross the sea. They had to cross the Red Sea. That was impossible. God didn't take them around it. He could have, but he didn't want to take them around it. God's not going to take you around your troubles. He's going to take you through them. He's going to take the impossible and make it possible. He's going to take what the world can't see and find a way. So don't spend too much time trying to do what the world does. You look at the way God's doing it for you, because what he's going to do for you, the world don't know nothing about. They'll be down and you'll be up. They'll be sad and you'll be happy. They'll have questions and you'll have answers. Oh my God, always provides everything we need. He never leaves us without a way out. He always provides for us. There's always a ram in the bush. There's always a hope for us. We are never without hope. Amen. And here's Samson. He said, what if Samson was saying this thing in a sharp sword? See, trying to use his thinking on how to defeat the enemy. You don't have to worry about how to defeat the enemy. The enemy will be defeated because God's word said so. Amen. You're trusting in God's word. You're not trusting in your abilities. You're not trusting in your smartness. You're not trusting what you bring into the table. He brings everything to the table. Amen. That's all you need. Amen. Is to take what God says. See, when God says it, that settles it. You don't need to worry about your abilities. Oh, I would testify if I could. I would sing if I could. I would play. I'd preach if I could. I'd do this thing if I could. Well, you can't. But God can. Amen. And he wants you to look at the impossible and depend on him. That's all you need. Just take God as what God says. And to go to beating with it just as hard as you can. You'll get yourself free after a while. Yes, sir. Yes. Jonah needed a bridge. God provided a floodgate, spiritual floodgate
that held back Jonah, that held back Jordan. That was Joshua, not Jonah. Joshua needed a bridge, and God held back Jordan so he could go and fulfill God's word. The promises needed, he needed a bridge. Anytime you get into a situation where you need a way out, look for the bridge. There's always a way out. You always, we're not like the world. See, the world doesn't have a way out. They don't. They get in troubles and they sink. This world's on its way out. It's no stopping it. It's no slowing it down. They don't have a way out, but I have a way out. Alice said, I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. I got an exit. I got an exit plan for me. I don't have an exit, a good one for them, but there is an exit for them, but not one they want. But for the bride, she has an exit plan. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He even made a way out for us to get out of this world.
Amen.
Daniel needed a fence to keep the lions off him. God gave him an angel, see? That's God's provided way. What's needed, God provided. And God provided it in his own way. Amen. Things don't come the way I want it. I didn't know how I was going. I didn't know that check was even coming. I would have thought, well, I need to go to the bank. I need to take a loan. I need to do this. I need to do that. I'd have all my plans. But God has his own plan. He has his own way. He has his own way of doing things. And you will never figure him out. When you think you got it right, you got it wrong. When you think you know God, you don't. When you think you've got the answer, you don't. He has it all in his hands. Now, what if Daniel would have said, now, wait a minute. I can think of a better way than a pillar of fire standing here before me now. That lion might not have any effect on him. He might come right on through that pillar of fire. If you just get me a great big fence and fence me in, see, that's what he said. If God, if he said, God, just fence me in with a big fence. Don't put the pillar of fire. Give me a big fence. Our ways, our thinking. A great big fence. See, that would have been Daniel trying to do something. But just accepting God's provided way, he laid down and went to sleep and slept all night just in peace. God provided a way. Yes, sir. Oh, my. The Hebrew children needed some water, a fire hose down there to put out all that fire when they jumped in there. He's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But God provided them a fourth man. Yes, sir. That's all they needed. See, the thing about it is when you know that you are a son of God or a daughter of God, God's got a way for you. He doesn't have a way for everybody, but he's got a way for you. He's got a provided way for you. He's got a ram in a bush for you. He's got a way out for you. And when everybody else is falling apart, you can sing in the midst of the storm. You can have peace in the midst of the storm. You can know that God's got you, and don't worry about the circumstances. Everybody's like, oh, we got our children, our this and our that. Oh, the world's so bad. The world is bad, yeah, but we're in Goshen. You know what Goshen is? That's where the children of Israel were when Pharaoh was getting plagues beat on his head. They had darkness. They had frogs. They had blood. They had all these things, flies. They had all this stuff hitting them, and none of it was hitting Goshen. Why are you upset about the election? It doesn't matter who's going to be in the White House. It's about the will of God. I'm in Goshen. You might need somebody in the White House that'll push the button. You might need somebody in the White House that'll bring condemnation on this country and the whole place fall apart. You might need us to be in a situation that the whole world's not going to like us anymore. But don't worry about that, because this world is not our home. Yes, we're not in this world.
Oh, my goodness,
yes. So don't get so upset. There's a way out.
Amen.
When the bombs start flying, I have a way out.
Yes.
When the missiles start flying, I've got a way out. Yes. When certain destruction hit this continent, I have a way out.
Amen.
You say, how do you know? Because I believe God. I believe God's word, and he told me he was going to take care of me. He promised me he would do it. And I'm not going to lose any sleep over this country. I'm not going to lose any sleep over this world. I'm not going to lose any sleep over this world condition, because this world is not my home. And I'm here to do the will of God. And I'll invest as long as I'm here. And I'll do all that I need to do for the kingdom while I'm here. Because I'm not going to walk out of here with just one penny. Mm-mm. I'm not going to walk out of here with just one little pence. I'm going to invest it all. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to give everything I have. And Lord, take it, multiply it, triple it, whatever you want to do. And I'll be able to. Do you know this little boy who was raised in Dayton, Ohio, has gone around the world preaching? That's crazy. That's investment. I can get on a plane now and I go across the world and talk to people that know me by name. That's crazy. But that's an investment. And the thing is that you need to give God your life so that you can do whatever he wants to invest you in. Don't limit to it. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. You know how some of us do? We see the stock market acting up, and first thing we want to do is pull our money out. And what do they tell you to do? Leave it in there. Let it ride. What I'm telling you this morning, stay in here. Let it ride. Invest what you are. Invest who you are. And realize God's got you. And because you are who you are, he will put a ram in a bush every problem that you come across. You'll get a way out with every trouble. When everybody else is all upset and tore up, you walk around here with a smile on your face. What are you smiling out? Because what are you smiling about? Jesus says. He's got me. He's taking care of me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. See, in Luke chapter 19, Jesus was talking to Zacchaeus. He was getting ready to go to a visit at his house. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation coming to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you know we were lost? Do you know we needed a ram in a bush? Do you know Jesus is our ram in a bush? When we didn't have a way back, when we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come here speaking lies, no way to get to God, no way to communicate with God. God looked at us and said, I got a ram in a bush. And this ram's going to pay the price for all mankind. And when he pays this price, that sacrifice will be accepted by me. Do you realize no other sacrifice is accepted? Do you realize that over there in the book of Revelations, in chapter 5, when they were getting ready to loose the seals, do you realize they looked for somebody to open the seals and loose them, and nobody was able to do it? No man was worthy. Nobody could do it. We needed a ram. And they told us, behold, here comes that lamb. Here comes our ram. He's the only one who's worthy to open the book. He's the only accepted sacrifice. And that lamb stayed there and was sacrificed for us for 2,000 years. And then at the end of that 2,000 years, he was able to come forth, take the book, and rip the seals off. Nobody else could rip the seals off. Do you know what happened when he ripped the seals off? It opened up the entire Bible to us. When the seals were on that book of Revelation, in the book of Revelation, nobody understood the Bible. Nobody understood the plan of God. Nobody knew anything. And that ram had to sit there and play the mediator between God and man for 2,000 years. But when he ripped those seals off and sent them down, here's the word, it opened up the entire book. Now we can preach from Genesis. Oh, I think I did. Genesis to Revelation. We can preach from Genesis to Revelation. We can talk about anything in that book, because now it's an open book, because the ram has come in our behalf and give us the whole book. Oh, we found a ram in a bush now. He's come and give us everything that we have need of. And now we're sitting here with an understanding of everything. That's why the world order don't fool us. It doesn't bother us. That's why the world situation doesn't bother us, because we now understand who we are. Redemption came through his blood. Ephesians chapter 1. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. I love this, because this is just talking about us. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time. When is that? When the church ages are over? when the body's built, when the bride has made herself ready, when all this is done, now all these scriptures that I'm just quoting to you are in here. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together into one, not seven. This is no longer seven. Gather together into one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. Do you know we're one with them now? I see that so clearly now. We're calling for the same thing they're calling for. It's one mind, one body. They are, without us are not even made perfect. And we without them are not even made perfect. They're calling for a glorified body. We're calling for a glorified body. We're all saying the same thing now. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of the glory of praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. He sealed you in. He sealed Satan out. Do you realize if you're sealed in, the devil can't get you? He can't get you. Amen. You belong to God. You come from God. You're a child of God. And God is purposely doing everything he can to get you back to where you belong. And he will. That's why he supplies these rams in the bushes. That's why he always makes a way out. When you feel like you run into a wall, he'll make a door. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's us. Until he redeems us all back. He held everything at bay until he got his possession. Unto the praise of his glory. It's all about him. And when we look at Revelation 5, we see where he was the only one who took the book. He was our ram. Now I want to read you that because I'm getting ready to close. And I'm not going to read that. I'm going to go right to this last little paragraph. He was born like all lambs are. He was born in the springtime. And he had to be born under the ram. That's April. Because he was a ram. And the ram was April. Exactly. He was born under that ram. That's what he was. He was God's ram. That was him up there that took Isaac's place. Amen. Do you see it? Don't you see it? There it is. Shows here plainly. The royal seed bride will not be called by the she. Church. Denominational. She-goat sacrifice. No. But by him. The manifested word of the ram. For he is the word and the ram. Not called, he said, not called by her name, but called by his name. He would take the people out of the Gentiles, not for her name, but for his name. Would bear his name. Oh my. What are you afraid of for? What are you afraid of for then? A Gentile will bear his name, the ram, not her name, the church, not she, but he. Hallelujah. Our ram in the bush paid the price for us. And he's made a way in every situation, in every one of the believers in that Bible, every one of them had a ram in the bush. Whether it was water, whether it was fire, whether it was lions, whatever hit them, God always provided them. And he's always provided you a ram in the bush. So when you're going through life, don't feel like you're all alone. Don't feel like you have no way out. Don't feel like God's through with you. God ain't through with you. He's just sending you through something to show who he is. He's sending you something so that you can look at that ram and say, that's God. God made a way out. God made me whole when I wasn't whole. God gave me a sound mind when my mind was going crazy. God gave me work. God gave me a life. God gave me peace. God gave me rest. God gave me a glorified body. Amen. It's all going to be Him. Because when it's all said and done, it's going to be God all in all. He is our ram in the bush. He's the one that's got your life in His hands. Don't worry when we have to lay our loved ones down. Because you know what? We're going to pick them up again.
That's right.
We don't lose our loved ones. We just lay them down. And we, you know, something that's lost is something you can't find. My loved ones are not lost. I know exactly where they are. And just as much as I laid them down, I'll pick them up again. Everything that God brings your way, He's made a way for you. Just have faith in Him. Have faith in His ram in the bush. Have faith in His trust, in His trust His word. And if you can do that, God will take care of all the details. You don't even have to worry about the details. Don't spend too much time trying to figure the details out. You leave the details to Him. They say the devil's in the details. That's what the devil tried to do to you. He's trying to make you figure out, okay, how's this going to work? How's God going to get you out of this? How God's going to get you out of that? Don't worry about it. It's His business. It's His problem. He'll make a way. The Lord will make a way somehow. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, for being with us. And thank You for being that ram in a bush for us. Knowing that, Lord, it wasn't us that did it, but it's the ram. You paid that price for us. And Lord, we're so grateful for it, thankful for it. Ask You to help us to appreciate it like never before. And when we run into problems and situations, Lord, let us look to You, knowing that, God, You will make a way. And Father, we thank You for speaking Your word and putting it out there to let us know that You've got it. And since You've got it, Lord, I won't worry about it. Help us not to worry about it, but to look to You, knowing that You've got this thing covered. You are our ram in the bush. And Lord, You made a way that we can sacrifice everything this world tries to get us to sacrifice, give it away, throw it away, put it away, and serve You. That's what we want to do with our lives. That's all. That's the only thing that pleases us. Ask You to bless this day. Bless this congregation, this group of people who are looking to You. Let us keep our eyes open for that rim in whatever situations we have in our lives. And Lord, I know for a fact that You will make a way out. Thank You for it all, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Amen. God bless you. Now, don't forget, right after immediately following service, they're going to have the fellowship out there in the under the shelter. And just enjoy the day. Amen. God bless you. What are we going to sing to close out here?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Mercy rewrote my life. That would work. That would be a good song. I should have been cast out, but God's mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life.
cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Yes, it rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul.